The Mayor Not the Singers with their hit song from yester century, Servant of All.
See, when you start serving, you learn things that you may never learn any other place. You're going to learn humility. You're going to learn punctuality. When you sign up for something, you're going to learn promise keeping and commitment. Sometimes when you don't want to get there, you go anyway. And I'm learning something called commitment. You're going to learn perseverance, endurance. Oh man, will we learn forgiveness. We're going to learn honesty and transparency. All of those things you only learn when you start serving. If you want to be
great. And now, Pastor Wayne from New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon, with a message entitled, Through the Servant's Entrance.
Learn to be the servant of all. We're going to talk about servanthood today, the importance of being a servant, for that's how God created us. How often you'll see that he says, you're servants of the Most High, slave of Jesus Christ, one who serves in the kingdom. Again and again, he identifies who we are. We're not people who will usurp over others or take authority over others, or someone that says, hey, you served me. But the Lord says, no, you come to be to serve, not to be served, just as the Son of Man did. So we're going to talk about that, about servanthood. Going through the servant's entrance, that's the fastest way to the throne. 50% of what you're going to learn will be here, just seated here in the church. But the other 50%, we're going to learn by going through the servant's entrance. When you put your hand to the plow, that's when you learn a bunch more. But before we get there, let's read what he says to the disciples after they're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. Now he's going to hit it head on in this verse in Luke chapter 22. So if you would take out your notes, let's read it together, what he says about coming through the servant's entrance. Read it with me. Go. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who... Yes, read that last line again. But I am among you as one who... You see, in the world, you start off as a busboy, and you try to get out of that as fast as you can. You try to graduate out of that. But in the kingdom, you sort of graduate to being a servant. You're promoted to servanthood. It's the opposite. In fact, the Lord says it this way, only the greatest can become servants. That's what he called us to be. You say, you don't have to be great to be a servant. I mean, you start off as a busboy. You start off as a servant. And you try to get away from that as fast as you can. And the kingdom says, no. You get promoted to be a servant. Only the greatest can be servants. See, how's that? You see, to be a true servant, you have to be great in humility. You have to be great in patience, don't you? You have to be great in kindness. You have to be great in overlooking someone's faults. You're setting up chairs one way and someone says, no, I don't want it set up that way. I want to set it up this way. Say, okay, no problem. And you have to be great at overlooking something that you could have argued about, and you're not going to die on that hill. Do you understand the amount of character is required to be a servant? Not everyone can be a servant. That's why the Lord says, only the greatest of all shall be the servant. That's what I'm looking for. So as I said before, remember, 50% of what we're going to learn, we'll learn here. The other 50%, you're going to learn as you go through the servant's entrance. But to get there, you'll have to be great. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Well, you see, when you start serving, you learn things that you may never learn any other place. never in a classroom. You're going to learn humility. You're going to learn punctuality. When you sign up for something, you're going to learn promise keeping and commitment. Sometimes when you don't want to get there, you go anyway. And I'm learning something called commitment. You're going to learn perseverance, endurance. Oh man, will we learn forgiveness, excellence. We're going to learn honesty and transparency. All of those things you only learn when you start serving. And when God is going to bring people here to the church, we're going to need a whole bunch of servants. And so we get to learn how to serve. That's who we are. See, the world says it differently. Get people to serve you, bless you, help you, assist you, give to you. So then all of a sudden, we start to live in a self-centric world. Imperceptibly, it just happens. And then everything caters to us, and we think that's how it should be. That's my right. That's who I am. And the Lord says, no, don't you dare get that identity. That's a wrong identity. Don't you dare. No, you're citizens of heaven. So the Word of God begins to tell us who we really are. We're really servants. And when you do serve, God rewards. It's the servants that God looks at, empowers, and enables. Remember, God does not call the enabled. He enables the called. And when you say yes, He enables you. God's going to give us all kinds of ways to serve and some tests along the way. And the disciples were tested too. They didn't do well. They started arguing, saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom? We want to sit at the head table with you. But you know, here at New Hope, we need a lot of servants. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. But if we had a base like this, and if this resembled the servants here, and I took sand and I poured sand on this base, it would just hold so much sand. It would peak. And then it would cascade off to the side the more sand I poured. It just would hold just so much sand. The only way it would hold more sand is if I increased the base. When I increased the base, I could hold more sand. But after a while, it would peak, and then it would cascade off. Even if I took a 55-gallon barrel of sand, it wouldn't hold any more sand until I increased the what? The base. Now, these were like servants, and God wanted to reach Lane County and beyond, we wouldn't be able to hold the people God would send if we had a very small base, because it didn't matter if He wanted everyone to be saved. We can't handle it. There's not enough people just to say welcome home and to embrace them and let them know that they were welcomed. But as we increase the base and more people say yes, God can pour more sand, as it were, and more, because how many of us know there's a ton of people out there that the Lord wants saved? In fact, it says in Peter, He is willing for none to perish, but all come to repentance. And that's 170, 100, 200,000 people out there. You say, but we can't get a church that big. I said, no. You never measure the size of a church by how many are in it. You always measure the size of a church by how many are still outside of it. Yes. And so our base is small. But if we keep increasing the base, then God can bring more. By the way, I wanted to say thank you to our greeters. How many greeters do we have in here? Raise your hand. Yeah, a couple here. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask the same question. This time, here's a hint. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, just try it. All right. How many greeters are there here? Okay, some of you are still rebellious. Let's everybody raise your hand, okay? Here's a test, okay? Let's try it. How many greeters do we have? Good. How many ushers? Same thing. How many ushers do we have? Yeah, you see, if they only had three greeters, then we have a very small base here, see, serving. But if everybody, because we can all greet, we can all smile, we can all say welcome. We can all just help someone that has a little child to find where the elevator is or help them get to the Sunday school. You see, if every single one of us were greeters, every single one usher, we can all do that. We can all embrace somebody and say, welcome. Do you know how many people God could bring and enter into the kingdom? Because we found out who we are. Our identity is to serve the purposes of God. You got it? Yeah, so then every single one of us will be a part. Why? Here's why. You know, we love the arts. I love the arts. I grew up in music, and we're going to do everything we can to keep people's attention to the gospel. So I'll use lights. I'll use words. As you can see, we emphasize certain things that I say by prompting you onto the screen with these words. We'll use videos. We'll use everything we can to help us understand and let the gospel grab our hearts. And nothing better often than the arts to do that. So it's not a manipulation or a gimmick. It's just something to help us focus and to really see how beautiful the gospel is in all that it's worth. So we're going to keep doing that. However, when people come into New Hope West, I don't want them to be enamored with the lights, to just see the singers or the videos, as wonderful as they are. That's just the frame of the gospel. That's not the gospel. It's framing the gospel, saying, can you hear how wonderful Jesus is? Can you sense his goodness? Because he's the picture. We're just the frame. Everybody got that? But watch this. It says this. Only the greatest can be servants in the kingdom of God. People in the world go for the head table, but it must not be among you. And then he says this. The very last sentence, if you want to find me, I will be found among those who serve. I will be found among those who. So he said, if you want to find me when you come in, look for the servants. That's where I'm going to be. I thought, we need people to see Jesus when they come to New Hope West. Not the frame of the picture, the picture. Not the things that we're doing to focus on Jesus. They need to see Jesus. And if they don't, we've missed it somehow. And the frame can be beautiful and gaudy, or it could be really ornate. But if they miss the picture, it doesn't really matter. We don't want the frame to be the subject. We want Jesus to be the subject. And it says here, I will be found among those who, what was it again? Serve. Serve. So if we only have a few serving, then when people come to New Hope, they'll be hard-pressed to see Jesus. But if we're all served, how many greeters do we have, by the way? I forgot. Oh, good. How many ushers do we have? Yeah. You see, if we're all serving, well, at least we have the heart or the identity of that. When people come in, they'll see Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere where they turn. They'll see the heart of Jesus. They'll hear the words of Jesus. They'll see how Jesus thinks, how Jesus would treat families and kids. Like, wow, he's everywhere. And that's what transforms people's hearts, not the other stuff. The other stuff is to just bring focus to the one who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And if we have servants everywhere, then wherever people turn, they're going to see Jesus. Now, some people come to me and say, you know, Wayne, nice and all, but I don't have much to give. I mean, I don't sing or I don't dance or I can't do lights. Just start with what you have. Just get involved. That's the main thing. In fact, the reason we had everybody just buy a chair is so that everyone can be involved. We want everybody involved, even if it's in a small, teeny way. Don't ever think it's small. No, because Jesus is the multiplying factor, and he can take something small and make it into something exponentially amazing, as was the case with a man named Ted Place. Some years ago, he was in Youth for Christ, but prior to Youth for Christ, he was in a service sort of like this, when the pastor, sort of like this one, said, let's all find what gift God has given to us, even if it's small, and let's just promise that if we're ever asked in any way or invited to be a part of serving, that we will never say no, we'll always say yes. Everybody got that? And they said, yeah, all right. So in just a moment, he said, let's all stand and let's give our gift to the Lord. If it's praying, give that. Or if it's just smiling, you have a gift to smile, then give that. If it's a gift to make people feel loved, if it's music or if it's tech or cleaning, anything, what could you do if the Lord asked you to help? You could do. Let's give that to the Lord. And so they all stood up. And he said, on three, just verbally give your gift to the Lord. One, two, three. And Sally was saying, I give you my piano playing. Another, I give you my dance. And another one would say, I give you my guitar playing. And another one, my voice. And Ted Place, he said, I didn't have anything except he could somersault. You see, every Saturday for exercise, he'd go to the park and somersault. He'd just flip. And then he'd do a backflip and then a forward flip and then he'd somersault. And so he stood up and said, I give you my somersaults. And then the pastor reminded them that if God ever wanted to use it, you would never say no. Well, that Saturday, as he would always do on Saturdays, he went to the park and was exercising. And the way he liked to exercise was somersaulting. And then he'd flip. And then he'd flip again. And then a somersault. Well, these junior high kids saw him doing this. Thought, man, that guy's either insane or he's cool. And sometimes they're very close together. And so they went and said, hey, mister, could you teach us to do that? He said, what? Flip and somersault. And he said, no. And then he remembered what the pastor had said, and he said, okay. And so they gathered around, and he taught them how to somersault. So they said, hey, could we bring some friends next week, and you teach us all how to do that? He said, I would, yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And under one condition. They said, what's that? That when I'm done teaching you how to somersault, you'll let me share with you the one who gave me the gift to somersault. They said, sure. The next week, 18 junior high kids showed up. And he would teach them how to somersault. And then he would teach them about Jesus, the one who is the giver of all gifts. They were so enamored, they said, can we come back next week and bring some friends? And he said, yeah, you betcha. So the next week came, and there were 32 kids, and it kept growing until there were 80-some kids coming every Saturday, and after they would learn how to somersault, he would teach them about Jesus. Well, the local mission director heard about this ministry that Ted Place had and said, would you come to the mission and teach and preach, give your testimony about this ministry that you have? He said, I don't have a ministry. I can't. Yeah, I'll come, he said, as he remembered his commitment to serve. And that's who he was. So that Sunday, he went to the mission and began to share the testimony of how God was using him in this somersaulting ministry. What the director didn't tell him was that every 9 minutes, the train would come right by the mission, and it would sound as if it were coming straight through the mission. It was so loud that all of the people sitting in that little chapel would say, hey, we can't hear you, mister. Speak up. And so he'd have to raise his voice a little bit more to continue sharing. Well, after it was done, people liked him so much, the director said, hey, Ted, would you come next week and preach again? He said, I ain't. Okay, I'll come. And so he came the next week. Now he had to write a sermon. He had to study more in the Bible to get a message put together. So finally he got some messages put together and he would speak on Sunday. And every ninth minute, he'd have to lift his voice. This went on for 3 years. He preached at the mission each Sunday. And every 9 minutes, he would raise his voice. And he'd begin to speak with boldness and confidence till a couple of years later in New York City, he joined Youth for Christ, and he was the only person that could speak to a crowd of 3,000 teenagers without a microphone. And if you started at the end, you would never, never know that it began in a place just like this, where we said, whatever I have, I'd like to dedicate to you, and I won't say no if you ask me to be a servant. And so it is with you and me. As we go through this season and we start to develop what God is asking us to develop, say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. You start serving right where you are, because each servant has been gifted to serve. But that gift will only be developed with use. And if you don't use it, it'll stay latent. It'll always remain in the shadows. Don't forget who you are. I want to finish with a story out of this book called Doing Church as a Team. It should have been a New York Times bestseller. I want to read to you a paragraph or two And it's entitled, A Scary Thing to Forget Who You Are. A few summers ago, my son Aaron and three of his friends found a 55-gallon barrel and a sloping hill. The combination of these two discoveries by a group of teenage boys could only spell mischief. And so it did. They thought it would be great fun to get inside the barrel and roll one another down the hill. The first to volunteer his life and future was Aaron. I think he got that bravery from his mother. The barrel took off with a slow, labored roll with Aaron inside, but soon it was accelerating into an out-of-control, warp speed, one-man suicide mission. The barrel began flipping end over end until it came to a crashing halt at the bottom of the hill. Somewhere along that wild ride, Aaron hit his head on the side of the flying barrel, and when it landed, he was knocked out cold. When he finally regained consciousness, which was a short time later, he couldn't remember a thing. He had sustained a concussion, and his memory was gone. I was at a meeting at that time, and I received a call from one of his friends and partners in crime. He reported with an excited voice that Aaron had hit his head and had no recollection of anything that had taken place. So I rushed home immediately, and there he was. I found a very frightened 16-year-old boy with temporary amnesia. Although Aaron is a virile, strapping young man, I've never seen him so afraid. "Dad," he says, "I can't remember anything," he said through his tears. "I'm so scared." He wasn't entirely sure who he was. I tried reasoning with him and reassuring him that his erased memory was only a temporary thing and it would return in a day or so. And although the memory of the event itself may not, everything else should return just fine. However, despite my best efforts to assure him, he remained afraid and unsure. Well, I drove him to the emergency room. And I had the dubious honor of explaining to the attending physician how this concussion had taken place. The doctor shook his head and wheeled him into the room for a CAT scan. After about an hour later, the ER physician returned, and he informed me that Aaron's memory would return in a day or two and that the scan of his brain came back normal, which frankly surprised me. After a stunt like that, I was shocked that they found anything normal in his cranium at all. I was thinking that it might be beneficial for the physician to take each of his friends and do one of those scans on them as well. Well, we took Aaron home. And in fact, the following day, his memory did return, although he had no recollection of the traumatic event itself. Aaron eventually recuperated from his injury, and he came away with a little more wisdom about empty barrels, sloping hills, and friends that are willing to nominate each other to boldly go where no one in his right mind has gone before. But I will always remember how scared he was the day when he lost his memory of who he was. When the people of Israel forgot who they were, the problem was there were no alarms. They forgot who God called them to be, but there were no sirens. There was no emergency 911 calls. Maybe with the possible exception of a lone prophet whimpering in the desert, no one else even noticed that there might be anything wrong. They forgot who they were, and they turned from followers into grumblers. However, it's not so with us. Why? Because today we have the Holy Spirit to remind us that God has given us an identity and a purpose for living, and that He's created us to be servants of the Most High God. Why? Even He identified as a servant and calls us to join Him. That's who we are, and that we must never forget. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've just heard a message entitled Through the Servant's Entrance by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until we meet next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
Well, you see, when you start serving, you learn things that you may never learn any other place. All of those things you only learn when you start serving.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, remember, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. God bless you and aloha.